Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
All right, each November, beer fans line up on Black Friday to secure a bottle of Goose Island's Bourbon County Stout. The stout is aged in bourbon barrels and comes in a traditional Bourbon County Stout variant, as well as a number of special edition variants that are distributed in very limited quantities. Now, before I introduce our guest, I have one critical beer connoisseur with me in studio, and that is a one and only, which should start laughing already, Brian Noonan, because when I think beer, as I said before, I think of Brian Noonan.
Well, I appreciate that, Dave, and it's nice to be called a connoisseur rather than some of the other names I've been called for my love of alcohol. But this is, I feel like a sort of a scholarly endeavor when you introduce me that way,
right?
that I have a little gravitas comes to speaking on the subject, mm-hmm. even though, you know, we'll see.
That's right.
Thank you for having me. This is always an exciting event.
I love doing this as well.
It's a huge national story in the beer community. It's a huge local story because of Goose Island. So it's interesting to see how it's grown.
Yes.
And how big this Bourbon County release has become from the first time where it was just the original.
It's a thing.
To now all the variants. It is most definitely a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing. And joining us is our pal Mike Siegel. He's the Brewery Research and Development Manager for Goose Island. What's going on, Mike?
Glad to be here. Thanks, Dave.
It's a tradition here, of course, as we said for years. Your passion started for all this when you were just a baby.
Yeah. I think you and I have been doing this.
What is that?
I don't know. This is what, 4 or 5 years you and I have been doing this.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a great annual tradition to be back talking about these beers.
Absolutely, absolutely. Explain to folks what your role is at Goose Island. Research and development sounds like a really cool job.
Yeah, I say that I have the best job at the brewery. I think I do. Research and development is new beer development mostly. We do a little bit of research, and that could be raw materials. Hops are a big thing, right? We've got a lot of interest in hoppy beers, but development is developing new beers. And so we'll come out with, 150 beers a year in our small pilot brewery. We have a very small brewery within our brewery that allows us to be more nimble and do very creative things. And the beers that get passed through our taste panel, because it has to go through an approval process, are at our 1800 West Fulton tap room. Gotcha. So you can get them there, just exclusive to the tap room.
How has the Bourbon County Stout phenomenon evolved over the years? Where you started with just the one, the original Bourbon County Stout, and then what drove it? Obviously, demand for the original, but then what has driven this phenomenon that it's become?
Bourbon County goes back to the Clybourne Brew Pub. Before it was a bottled beer, it was just a draft beer that was made. It was actually originally made for Batch 1000 to celebrate the 1000th batch at the brew pub. And Greg Hall, who was the son of John, the founder, who was the brewmaster at the time, wanted to make a special batch, made this big Imperial Stout, put it in a Jim Beam barrel for 90 days.
Just for the celebration.
And the legend began.
Wow.
And they entered in beer competitions, and it got thrown out because it wasn't to style, because nobody'd ever made a bourbon barrel aged stout before, and people loved it, but they didn't know how to categorize it.
Right.
And I think from there, through the late 90s and the early aughts, it just took off. We started bottling it in 2005, and then I think somewhere around 2010 is when this kind of modern wave of just enthusiasm and waiting in line really started. With vanilla came out that year, and the original rare and all that. So it's been building every year, a lot of momentum. We never take it for granted. It's a beautiful thing. But Black Friday is a company holiday for us.
It is a huge day. Not just
going to Walmart to get DVD players. Let's get some beer.
Exactly. That's the truth. There's thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people around the country waiting in line for this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an important day.
It's, you know, so our biggest local release is at the Binnie's right across the street from the original Goose Island on Clybourne, and they're a great partner of ours, and there's going to be a line around the block probably
Binnie's
a couple times. Yeah,
I've gone to over the years, there's a line. It doesn't matter.
Right.
You go, oh, I'm going to be far out.
No, it doesn't matter. I've been downstate for Thanksgiving. We go like to Monticello, which is just outside of Champaign, and there's a Binnie's kind of on the outskirts of things that you walk in. And I know I can get there on time and get everything I need. Although there's limitations. You can't clear the place out by any
means.
But I know there's some little nooks that might be good to look at and see.
Some people get in line. You just ruined it for yourselves.
He might have done that.
Some people get in line 2 days. I think the record's 2 days. So the day before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Then people spend Thanksgiving in line and camp out in Chicago weather.
Is there... I know you have all the data. Which has been the most popular? Is there one that's been sought out more than any other?
Of the individual
of the different variants we've done? Things, yeah.
That's really hard to say. I think the rares, we've done two rares. They've been very popular. Vanilla is always very popular.
Yeah, I would think so.
I like the vanillas. The proprietors always seems to be the... You hear a lot of talk about the proprietors every year.
It's Chicago only, so it's more limited in that regard. We do... Some of these get nationwide limited, but limited nationwide release. Proprietors Chicago only, so it's a smaller quantity. And people are drawn... You know, those are always a fun new recipe each year. We like mixing it up.
Nice.
I was just mentioning the Northwoods was one of my all-time favorites,
yes.
Right? And you said... Well, it's just got its fan base, and it's got its base that doesn't prefer it, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
And I've seen bottles over the summer downtown going for $70 a bottle.
Oh, my gosh.
And I won't mention the store because I want to blow this again for myself.
Yes.
But
the
guy goes, everything on the shelf is $12. And I said, and I'm arguing with him. I'm like, no, there's no way. Because the value goes up because, I mean, it's meant to keep and hold on to it,
sure.
Right? I mean,
yep.
This is something that you want to keep for years. And I was it was orange and then the orange chocolate and
yes.
Then it was the
the
Northwoods
yeah.
And I'm like, there's no way, and I'm arguing with him for 5 minutes like, this can't be.
Just fill your cart and shut up.
I know, I'm an idiot.
I want to pay you more,
which I did eventually after like trying to talk him out of it, you know, whatever. But yeah, people have got their favorites for sure.
Those were both. Was that last year? Was the Northwoods or was that
a couple years ago? The Midnight Orange was last year.
Okay.
Yeah. So yes, me as somebody who's really directly involved with these year round, kind of the process of putting these together. I love them all, you know, like my children. People ask me to pick my favorites. I can't. But inevitably, people will come up to me and tell me which ones they love and which ones, in some cases, that they really don't like. How could you make that? It's awful.
Well, you're the R&D guy.
You stand behind everything.
That's why there are variants.
That's right.
You pick your favorites. All right, what is the first one we're going to take a look at here?
So we're going to start with the wheat wine. So this is the only non-stout of the bunch. We've got eight here in front of us.
It is a little lighter.
Yes, you can see it.
Looking.
Kind of. It's dark amber. It's like the color of bourbon, of a nice amber bourbon. So, like I said, it's the only non-stout base of the whole mix here. And so we don't use any roasted malts, any specialty malts that give it the color. It gets its color from a very long boil and some extended aging time. But it's got a lot of nice toffee, butterscotch notes.
A little vanilla,
some vanilla, absolutely.
Yeah.
It really allows so less malt allows it really the barrel character, the vanilla, the coconut, the caramels to really shine. So,
by the way, Brian and I have our pinkies up because we're being fancy here because we're sniffing.
I'm also wearing spats and a monocle.
That's right.
This is like going to the opera.
So I wanted to start with this one instead of our original. I want to start with this one just because it's the lightest in flavor. It's still very big-bodied, sweet, lots of caramels.
I was gonna say that. Yeah,
but
very sweet.
And since we're going to get into the whole rest of them being stouts, I wanted to start here.
Sure.
And the nice thing is there's a balance between the sweet and the bourbon flavors that you get both of them.
Yeah.
So,
and it looks for someone who may be afraid of the other stouts, because there are people who see a stout and they're like, this would be a nice entree for them to go. This is a good way for you to try Bourbon County. And look, it's lighter, so you can...
It's still big.
It's easier.
15.3% alcohol, so we're not cheating you on that.
See, that's something that's
a
very important thing to tell people. You're not picking up a six-pack and going and drinking this in the back of the garage. No. Well, you might be, but don't do that.
Yeah,
that's how you become a beer connoisseur.
Is that what it is?
Sure.
These are sharing beers, for sure.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. And this segment is sponsored by Goose Island and Dots Pretzels, apparently, because you brought some to...
You have to have something to go along. Like, for me, Bourbon County Stouts are the perfect after dinner. You're sitting around with friends. You put them in a nice snifter, and you enjoy it.
If you do cigars, that's a nice addition, too.
It's perfect. So that's, you know, but this one, the wheat wine... You know, if you don't mind, a lot of alcohol before dinner, start off with this before dinner. And
I
then
like what you're saying.
It's got a lot of the same elements that we're going to find in the stouts, but without that roast component, that kind of cocoa, coffee, roast component that we're going to get into with the stout. So it's very familiar in a lot of ways with the sweetness and the vanilla and the kind of warming alcohol. But again, put in a snifter, let it warm up a little bit. That's key for all of these. Don't drink them ice cold right out of the refrigerator. Bring the bottle out, let it sit out for an hour, even two. Serve it at 50 degrees.
Since we're talking about serving it, how long, because we David mentioned people collect these. What's a good length? Because some, I think I have some from 14 or 15. Should I have drunk them previously? Is it when's the peak time?
No, I think we officially say on the label best within 5 years or develops in the bottle over 5 years. But we cracked open a 2009 recently that was great.
That's great.
Yeah.
So wow. Good to know.
It's,
yeah. Good
it,
question.
Higher alcohol and very dark beers like this tend to age the most favorably. You know, the overwhelming majority of beer, of course, needs to be consumed as fresh
right
as
away,
possible.
Yeah.
That's what beer is. But
so old style
small,
has to be done right away.
Yeah. Right after it's double croisened.
I got a 12-pack of Blatz out in the newsroom.
Double croisened.
So.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I think I'm going to have the old style folks contacting me.
No. Why I oughta?
But,
I love my old style.
My dad drank old style when I was a kid, so that was funny.
My first beers that I stole out of my dad's refrigerator.
See, there you go. There you go. But, and we got the Bourbon County now.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. So moving on to the Stout range now, and of course starting with the original, the one that started it all, Bourbon County Stout. This is the beer that, same recipe, same process. Our main goal is just don't screw it up. You know, it's a great beer.
Yeah.
Just every year, make it as good or if not better than it's ever been. And that's really what our first priority is to make this beer to the very highest standard. So it's been around for 20 plus years, 25 years.
And again, a little, it's Buffalo Trace and Wild Turkey barrels, right? For the Bourbon County.
And Heaven Hill. Heaven Hill's isn't as well known of a brand, of a distillery name, but they make Evan Williams, the number two bourbon in the world. They make Elijah Craig, Larceny, and some of that we're going to get into.
What goes into picking the distilleries that will supply the barrels?
Liking their bourbon.
Okay.
First and foremost.
Basically, you're trying the bourbon, you go, I like this bourbon. And then is it how it will accentuate the stouts? So you've got both flavors in there. What are you looking for?
You know, I didn't drink bourbon when I started this job. And I guess that, now
right.
I do, but it's part of research and development.
Of course.
It's job related.
I had to get, you know, because it's a raw material. It's like saying, a brewer that doesn't chew his malt or rub and smell his hops. It's a bourbon barrel is a raw material. Mm. We're putting our precious beer into this for a very long time. So we have to know the identity of that barrel and that whiskey, and getting to know those bourbons is the first step. So, again, Evan Williams, Elijah Craig, Larceny. I did mention it for the wheat wine, but it's 100% Larceny barrels, which is a wheated bourbon from Heaven Hill. So it's, again, just getting to know the whiskeys.
Now, the reserve rye, that's 100% the Rittenhouse barrels, right?
Correct.
Okay.
So rye whiskey being, I guess, the cousin of bourbon. Mm. So majority rye as the cereal versus corn. That's the big difference between bourbon and rye. The barrels are the same cooperage, and the barrel provides all the color, provides the vanilla, the caramel, the richness. Rye as a whiskey tends to be a little bit drier, less sweet than bourbon, and with kind of some, you can get some kind of dill or spice notes from rye whiskeys as well. Yeah, peppery. And I think this is conveyed in this version. So the Reserve Series is meant to highlight the differences that a specific barrel makes. So if you compare the original Bourbon County Stout that we just had to this one, the beer that went in the barrel is the same recipe, same aging time. It's the main difference is, again, the bourbon barrels for original, and here rye whiskey barrels of all of a single distillery and a single origin.
Now, the reserve steps up now to 2 year. Have you ever done a 2 year before, a 2 year reserve?
This is the first bottle release of a 2 year. We've played around with these things. A lot of these ideas that finally make it out, you know, in bottle form, we've played around with in smaller batches. So when we actually see it here in a release, it's not necessarily the first time we've done it, but we're now comfortable releasing it to the world in bottle form.
So I'm getting a little chocolate, a little Nutella, a little hazelnut kind of, right?
Yeah, so this is all 25th anniversary Knob Creek barrel. So their 25th anniversary was 2017. So it's when as a 2 year, it being 2 years ago, that was released as a 25th anniversary Knob Creek bourbon. And we got those barrels in, luckily, and aged it for 2 years. So really, this is, again, the exploration of what extended time in the barrel gives you. 2 years in the barrel. For me, the oak really starts to become more prominent, right? And now, a little bit of tannin as well.
Now, these are all your children, so you love all of them. But I'm sure, like all of us who enjoy this, you establish your favorites pretty quickly. You walk away going, oh, these two or three really knocked it out of the park.
It quite literally changes all the time. And it's, like I said before, I love every single one of these. I have a large say, you know, me and the brewmaster, Keith Gabbett, discuss these beers at length. There's a lot of philosophical discussion over what they should be, what they should taste like. So we spend a lot of time on these, and so we absolutely love and stand behind all of them. But I do, in the moment, I'll have favorites based on kind of sweeter profile or drier or maybe a degree of acidity or a little bit more prominence. This one is really nice in that aroma pops. That oak character really pops.
We all have a child that we don't really care. We love them, but they're the last one that we get their Christmas presents for. Have you had one of those come up where you go, yes, I love you. You're still in the family pictures, but you're kind of in the back.
No. You know, it's people, like I said, people come up to me. It's amazing that for something that I feel and I work so hard on that, and we work so hard on as a team, that you could have people that'll come up to you and be like, I absolutely hated that one.
Yeah.
I go, you know what? Okay. Well, we stand behind it, but, you know, sorry, I didn't like it.
We don't like you anymore. Yeah. You're not allowed to buy anymore.
But if you've got a bunch of these in the fridge or hanging on to them, there's a feel sometimes like, yeah, I'm going to do this one tonight because you've kind of become familiar with the taste, the flavors, and the kind of the strength of the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My hope is that each one of these is differentiated, right? You don't want to put out variants that are, they're so nuanced in their difference that people can't tell the difference, that they just think you're just marketing something different and charging a premium. We really put a lot of effort into making sure that each one of these is its own unique beer and that it stands alone. And some people are going to like it. Some people aren't if they don't like certain, you know, when we get into these last three, we're adding a lot of extra ingredients that people may or may not like.
Now there's a double barrel. We'll hit this one before the break here. And how do you fit one barrel into the other barrel to make it a double barrel?
Very carefully.
Brian, do you know?
Am I
tripping through my words already?
It's a lot of sweet talk.
Well, you're tripping because
just kinda...
this one clocks in at 18% alcohol. So it's the highest alcohol Bourbon County Stout that we've ever bottled. And we call it double barrel because it has two residencies in fresh bourbon barrels. So a year and 11-year-old Elijah Craig barrels. And you guys, if you're bourbon drinkers, you're probably familiar with Elijah Craig. It's a great, again, from Heaven Hill, great bourbon. So a year and 11-year-old barrels, and then a year and 12-year-old Elijah Craig barrels. So 100% Elijah Craig barrels, 1 year and 1 year. So a total of 2 years. But the difference is, if you go back to the two-year knob, that was 2 years in one barrel. This is 1 year each, total 2 years, but 1 year each in barrels. So you're picking up a lot of extra flavor.
And the bourbon is more pronounced. The bourbon flavor is more pronounced in this, but not that it drowns out the stout. You get more bourbon, but it seems to balance out perfectly. And is that the 11 and is that because the bourbons being 11 and 12-year-old bourbons are a little more subdued and subtle than...
Well, we're really starting, as we are increasing alcohol, we are also kind of stretching out the beer, and it becomes a bit of a beer-spirit hybrid.
Okay.
Right? So we're now 18% alcohol. There's less apparent sweetness as we increase alcohol. So we're becoming a bit of this hybrid, which is really interesting, where we're still Bourbon County Stout, but it doesn't have as much of the luscious mouthfeel as the original.
Right.
We're starting to kind of get a little bit more apparent alcohol, and again, those vanilla notes become more prominent. So it's a really interesting beer.
But when we say 18%, just comparing it to what a normal beer is, if people don't know that, a normal beer is what, 4?
A light beer is what, 4? Yeah, 4.5.
4.5%?
Yeah, 4.5%, 5% is kind of your easy drinking lager. You know, your IPAs can go 6, 7%. So this is,
So, Dave, the three bottles that you drank prior to us taping, probably too much.
We're kicking in.
Mike, would you agree? 18%? That seems excessive.
I should slow it down a little bit.
A little bit. So,
it's Brian Noonan, it's Dave Flyer, and it's Mike Siegel from Goose Island. There's more when we come back on 720 WGN. All right, it's Dave Plyer back with you here on 720 WGN, hanging out with Brian Noonan. Brian, what's going on, buddy?
I am so excited. Thank you again for having me here.
Yeah.
This is one of the big beer events of the year.
A new tradition here for
us.
Yes,
and a tradition. Now I've been here for, this is my second year, so I'm hoping you to stay in your good graces, so I'll be here for the third year.
And Mike Siegel from Goose Island. We've been doing this 5 or 6 years already, too. So we're talking about this really unique release, a Bourbon County Stout. There's variants to this. We've gone through 5 of them so far. Now we're getting on to the proprietors, which is kind of the special one because it's just meant for us here in Chicagoland.
That is correct. It's our big thank you to Chicago. And also, that was a great break between the first 5 and the last 3 because it is kind of how we segment the beers themselves. The first 5 are all just what we call barrel variants. So the wheat wine and then the 4 stouts, all we did there was change up the barrel, the type of barrel, the residency time in barrel. Here, we're now getting into adding additional elements to the stouts.
Yeah, you
to
were
the
very strategic
stouts.
About how we were going to do this.
Yes. So we're getting into, again, first the proprietors, which, again, Chicago only. It was created by one of our brewers, Eric Flores, as kind of a bit of the favorites of the ingredients that we've used over the years. So we use 2 types of coconut, vanilla, cocoa nibs, and toasted pecan. So it is luscious, to say the very least, as you guys take your sip down.
Whoa, a little rich coconut. Ooh. And chocolate. I'm getting a little bit of that. Tiramisu.
It's
That's a
like
great explanation.
A
little bit, right?
I mean, it's just delightful. There is
so
an additional sweetness to an already sweet beer and a richness.
And a nuttiness, too, to this thing. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, you definitely get the coconut and the pecan in there. And the chocolate, the underlying chocolate, cocoa flavor is there.
But if you're listening to this internationally, you're not getting this.
No, well, fly in.
Outside
you're welcome
of Chicago,
to fly
you're
in and line up on Black Friday.
That's right.
Come in
That's
on
right.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
Bring a camp chair and enjoy yourself.
Plenty of people do. People do. When I've gone out to Black Fridays, people come from Canada. People come from all over the U.S. because they know Chicago gets the most Bourbon County Stout. Right.
Had I been thinking, I would have started a turkey sandwich food truck to drive around to the various Binnie's and Goose Island on Thanksgiving Day and serve
go.
These people
yeah,
who are waiting in line.
That's all he does. Yeah.
This next one was dedicated from the brewer to his wife. Tell us this story.
Yes. Quinn Fuchel, his wife loves cherries. So this is called Mon Cherie.
Oh, you get that right.
That's French for my darling or my sweetheart. And they both love, and the reason we went with French is they're both big fans of cherries, but also the French language and France itself. And so to this Bourbon County Stout, this bourbon barrel-aged beer, we added about 20,000 pounds of Michigan and Oregon tart cherries.
Wow, nice.
Montmorency and Balaton tart cherries. And then we added, Quinn wanted to do something that, because we've done cherry rye in the past, which was just cherries. He wanted to do kind of a more of a cobbler-like character, so adding kind of a crust element. So we used what we called a mountain of granola.
Okay.
Thousands of pounds of kind of an oats and honey granola and steel-cut oats, and then a little bit of natural oat flavor, just to give it a little bit of extra kick.
Yeah, it feels like you're having a little dessert, a little pie on this.
It adds some acidity. It's a nice... Coming off the proprietors, which is very rich and sweet, it adds a little bit more tartness.
Yes.
It kind of cuts through that sweetness. I really enjoy it.
I think still do get the sweetness, but as you said, Mike, there is that cherry tartness is very evident, very forward.
But I feel like there's always like a fruit that kind of rises above the rest for like 18 months, 2 years.
Yeah.
Cherry seems like it's starting to rise in popularity again, so it's nice to have this as part of this story here.
Was it hard to find the particular... You mentioned 2 different states from opposite sides of the country with the cherries.
Yeah.
How do you... Because there's cherries everywhere. How did these two make the cut?
So Montmorency and Balaton cherry. So Montmorency is the largest variant of tart cherry. So they're both tart cherries.
Right.
And these are, as far as I know, Oregon and Michigan State are the biggest growers.
Okay.
So it purely came down to growers that we were familiar with and we knew their products. So.
What is our final one today, Mike?
The final one is Café de Olla.
Oh.
So we have a history of doing Bourbon County Stout with coffee, the coffee stout. And last year we did the coffee barley wine. This is an interesting twist on it. Brewer Austin Nystrom proposed this as a coffee drink. So Café de Olla literally means coffee pot. It's a very popular drink in Latin America. It can contain orange peel, but always contains cinnamon and a little bit of panela sugar, which is a whole unrefined sugar cane. And so we use those ingredients, the orange peel, we use Vietnamese Saigon cassia bark, but it's essentially cinnamon, is how it expresses itself, and then panela sugar from South America.
And really, Intelligentsia is your partner.
Intelligentsia is the coffee. Thank you. So we use cold coffee as well as coffee beans. And Intelligentsia, we literally share a wall with them. They're our next door neighbors. We've been doing beers with them for the original variant was coffee stout. So absolutely love this one. We spent the most time on as far as dialing in the character because there's so much going on. Literally every time we'd come back to smelling it and tasting it, it was, oh, no, it's more cinnamon forward. Come back, no, it's more coffee forward. No, it's more orange forward. And when we knew we dialed it in, when that was the reaction, was every time when we came back to
tried
it,
something.
It was the sensation was there was something different there.
Now,
go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead. Do it again.
So the brewers come up with some of these variants, and I've always said that brewers are half mad scientists because they –
it's true.
As the R&D guy, has a brewer come to you with one, and you just, before you even tried it, you went, yeah, this is not going to work. And you were not calling out the brewer, but...
No. There's lots of wild ideas. So these three that were picked, these last three were picked, again, as brewer creations. We start usually beginning of the year in January, and we do three rounds of kind of, it's a competition.
Sure.
And there are probably something like 60 or 70 submissions.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right? And there are some absolute dogs.
Do you remember one offhand?
Well, I mean, the...
Broccoli cheese? Does that one not work?
Three bean casserole stout?
My memory is not so great, but there are some absolute dogs in the mix, and so we whittle these things down from essentially
our
job.
Do that. That's part of the deal,
sure, of course.
You know, we create a funnel, and essentially we get ourselves down after about 2 months down to these three.
Okay,
so it takes some time, and we take this very seriously. I mean, they're fun beers, but this is a big deal for us.
So, are you brewing? Are you? You mentioned you had the small microbrewery. Are you brewing some of these as you get to the final 10? Are you brewing some of each, or how do you come to these final three?
It's fairly crude, actually. You literally give the brewers Bourbon County Stout and say, go home, buy some ingredients.
Oh, okay.
Expense the ingredients, and then come to this big room with a jar of it, and we're literally just going to taste it, take notes, and then we're going to rate them, and we're going to write comments, and we're going to be vicious, and we're going to, you know, we're going to tell you exactly what we think, and we do multiple rounds so that there's a feedback loop, so you can say, okay, they didn't like this or that, I'm going to tinker with it. We try to be constructive,
sure.
Right? And I'm being a little bit silly, but
you never know where the big. The winner might come from.
Yeah,
it might be something you give a little feedback to on the first week, and all of a sudden.
Yeah, usually they're from out of the gate, you know who the contenders are, but they might need a little polish.
Okay.
Right? But we're just talking about, again, one liter jars. And we're not looking for something that's, you know, a completely finished element, but it needs to have the flavors there that can win us over. And then we know how to take it to the finish line.
And we're talking Black Friday. This is all available on Black Friday, right?
Yeah.
Around the country.
Yeah.
Very cool stuff.
Again, some of these are more limited than others, but yes, the goal is to get these out to beer lovers across the country.
And I have to mention, too, there's other little bourbon-related things connected to this, like Uptown Cigar has these Bourbon County cigars, which are, I'm a cigar guy, but I love these cigars. They're very mild, but they're just great.
I haven't had one of these.
Get out of here.
No, I haven't had the bourbon.
We'll have to do that later today.
We'll sit in the garage.
We'll do that later today.
That would be lovely.
Mike Siegel from Goose Island and Brian Noonan. Thanks, guys, for hanging out, man.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Black Friday.
Always
a pleasure.
All right. 720 WGN.